Albayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid al-Azhar, Bilmo.
وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه أما بعد. We continue by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed taken from Al-Jami' al-Sahih or Sahih al-Bukhari for Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And we left off last week with one of the great ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the ru'ya of Allah azza wa jal in the next life. Regarding seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. And we've been discussing the ahadith which affirm that the Muslim is rewarded in the next life with seeing his Lord. And this, as we mentioned, is the greatest reward for the believer in the next life, for him to see his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we began taking the explanation of that long hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned how the believer sees his Lord the way that the moon and the sun are seen in this world, and he has no issue in seeing them. And then the hadith went on regarding the people will follow what they worshipped. So those who worship the sun will follow the sun. Those who worship the moon will follow the moon, and whatever else, until the hadith spoke about the last man to exit hellfire, and he is the last man to enter paradise. So regarding this hadith, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in it, after the people follow their gods which they worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and there will remain only this nation with its good and its hypocrites. After the open disbelievers and mushrikeen, after they follow their gods to hellfire, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then there will only remain this ummah, the good and the hypocrites from them. And what this means is that there will remain the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is possible that it is all of the people of Tawheed, and also including the jinn, not only the mankind of them, but the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the jinn also, as indicated in the rest of the hadith. And there's a narration in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will only remain this ummah, its good and its hypocrites, he said, and some of the people of the book. There will remain this ummah and some of the people of the book, meaning some of the Jews and the Christians. And that's regarding the small number of the Jews and the Christians who are upon the true religion of Islam, meaning the true followers of their prophets. Because the true Christian who followed Isa alayhi salam in his time is a Muslim. And the Jew who followed Musa alayhi salam in his time is a Muslim, because they followed the messenger. So they will remain, this ummah, and some of the Jews and the Christians. The rest of the Jews and the Christians will follow the gods that they worshipped. They would have already gone. So there will remain the ummah and some of the people of the book, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, Every nation will follow that which they worshipped, as the hadith mentions. Every nation will follow that which they worshipped. And what this means is that everyone who worshipped something besides Allah will have that thing which he worshipped brought forward. So if people worship the sun is going to be brought forward. And they are going to be ordered to follow it. And we mentioned last week, Allah Azza wa Jal either brings that thing forward or he makes an image of that thing. Because there are certain righteous people who were worshipped in this world who did not choose or allow to be worshipped. They didn't want to be worshipped. Like the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Allah makes an image of him, and the people who worshipped Isa alayhi salam are ordered to follow that image of Isa alayhi salam. And no one will remain except those who worship Allah alone, from the believers and also the hypocrites who pretended to be Muslim, because they are dealt with in a different way. The hypocrites, and a hypocrite in Islam means someone who is not a Muslim, but he pretends to be a Muslim. That's the definition of a munafiq in Islam. The hypocrite is the one who is not a Muslim and he hates Islam, but he pretends to be a Muslim for an agenda. So after the people follow their gods into the hellfire, the believers remain with these munafiqeen who have pretended to be Muslim, because we mentioned they are dealt with in a different way, as we will see in the next hadith. So when the Muslims remain after everyone has followed what they worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to them and he says to them, I am your Lord. And he says, I am your Lord. And this is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, which he performs whenever he pleases. The attribute of Al-Maji'ah, coming. That's one of Allah's attributes. And the attribute of speech. Because he says to them, I am your Lord. So this affirms two attributes of Allah. The attribute that he comes on the Day of Judgment, as he has mentioned, and the attribute of speech. So when Allah Azza wa Jal comes to them and he says to them, I am your Lord, the hadith says they will deny him. The believers, they will deny him. And they reply and they say, we will stay here until our Lord comes. They deny Allah after when he says that to them. And they say, we are going to stay here until our Lord comes. When he comes, we will recognize him. When Allah comes, we will recognize him. And this is the proof that Imam al-Bukhari used in the chapter. Because from the apparent meaning is that they see Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why they say, no, we will wait until our Lord comes and we will recognize him. But at this time, they do not know him. Why do the Muslims reply this to Allah? Because at that time, they do not know him. Because he does not appear to them with the attribute that they know of him. He appears to them with attributes different to what the believers know of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the narration of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the Jabbar, meaning Allah, comes to them in a surah, in an image other than the image which they saw him the first time. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he comes to the Muslims, to the believers, in an image on that day different to the image than they had already seen him. So you have to remember, the Muslims here, they have already seen Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal allowed them to see him. Then when he comes in a different image than the one they had originally seen him. And that's why the Muslims say, no, we're staying here until we see Allah. When we see him, we will recognize him. So Allah Azza wa Jal has come to them in a surah other than the one that they saw him in the first time. And that's why they say, we are staying here until Allah Azza wa Jal comes. The hadith then says, so Allah Azza wa Jal will come to them in his appearance, which they know. He then comes back to them in the appearance that they know. The surah which they had seen Allah Azza wa Jal originally. And he will say to them, I am your Lord. And that's when the believers will say, you are our Lord. So they will follow him. Everyone follows what they worshipped. Imagine the honor of you following Allah Azza wa Jal. When this person's following an idol, and this one's following the sun, and this one's following an elephant, and this one's following a cow, and whatever else is worshipped, and you, O Muslim, Allah blesses you with following him, the true ilah. What an honor. What an honor for you is this. And this part of the hadith is also the reason why Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah placed this hadith in this chapter. Because it is a clear proof that the believers are looking at their Lord. It is a clear proof that the believers are looking at their Lord. And these two statements in this hadith, this is where many of the people of innovation became misguided. Because they are upon the aqidah of the Asha'ira and their likes, where they misinterpreted the hadith to suit their whims and their desires. They played around with the meaning of the hadith. And it is compulsory upon us to know and to believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most God-fearing of mankind. No one disagrees on this. That our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most God-fearing of mankind, and he was the most knowledgeable about Allah of mankind. No one had knowledge about Allah more than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also affirm that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most eloquent and clear in speech. No one can speak clearer than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must accept his words as they are, since he explained everything with a perfect explanation. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained everything perfectly. And there is absolutely no need to elaborate or to explain what he has already clarified. So many ahadith where he is clearly saying, the believers look at their Lord and they see their Lord. There's no explanation after that. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it the best way. And we must believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message perfectly from Allah, and he did not leave out anything. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah sent him with a mission and he fulfilled that mission perfectly. And he did not leave the ummah in any darkness. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the command where he said, O Messenger, convey what has been revealed to you from your Lord. This was an order from Allah to our Prophet. Convey what has been revealed to you from your Lord. And then Allah says, and if you do not, then you have not conveyed His message. That's a warning from Allah and a command from Allah to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey the message. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message perfectly. He did not leave out anything. As the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said after his death, they said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about everything, even the bird that flies in the sky. He did not leave out anything. This is your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he himself, towards the end of his life, he asked his nation and he asked his companions. He said, have I conveyed the message? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was put on earth for that one reason, to convey the message to mankind. When it was close to his death, from his fear of Allah, even though he did convey the message, but he wanted that assurance with his ummah. And he asked them, in Hajjatul Wada', in his final sermon, he said, have I conveyed the message from Allah? And the Sahaba said, yes, you conveyed the message and you fulfilled the trust. And the Prophet ﷺ would point up to the heavens and he would say, oh Allah, bear witness to what they say. I have conveyed your message. And after his message was finalized and the religion was complete, there was no need for him to remain in the dunya. Allah took his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must believe, especially when it comes to aqidah, creed, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words are clear, and we take them as they are. And that's why he said, taraktukum ala al-bayda, I have left you on the white path. These are the words of the Prophet. I have left you on the white path. Layluha kanahariha. This path that I leave you on, its night is just like its day. Its night is just like its day. What does this mean? If the night is like the day, it means there's no darkness. That's what it means. This path that I leave you on is clear, is bright. There's no darkness on this path that I am leaving you on. Then he said, لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا. No one diverts away from this path, إِلَّا هَالِكُ, except someone who is destroyed. But we must believe and affirm that our Prophet ﷺ conveyed the message clearly and our religion is completed from him and it is not in need of anything else after him. The Sheikh says, after all of this, it is impossible, impossible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had explained the details of other things like how to eat and how to drink and how to sleep and how to go to the bathroom. It's impossible that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained all of these details and he would not explain that which is much greater than all of that. The knowledge of Allah and what we must believe regarding Him. Because this is what the innovators say. The people of innovation, they say that the Prophet ﷺ did not give us the reality of the knowledge when it comes to Allah. He only spoke to us in words just to try and make us understand, but he did not give us the reality of the knowledge. The Shaykh is saying, how can the Prophet ﷺ explain in detail how to eat and drink and use the bathroom, and not explain in detail the greatest and the most important of knowledge? Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who took the religion and took the iman directly from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe that they are the most knowledgeable in these affairs. And they are the most knowledgeable of the ummah. And their path is the safest path, the path of the companions. Because they were the direct students of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can understand the religion better than them. Why do we say this? Because there is a corrupted belief amongst the people of innovation who say they come up with this filthy principle and they say that al-khalaf a'lam wa ahkam. The khalaf, meaning those who came after the Sahaba, are more knowledgeable and wise than the Sahaba. And why do they say this? Because they take their religion from other than the early generations. They take their religion from people who came later on. And when you tell them, why are you leaving the knowledge of the Sahaba to go to the knowledge of these people? They tell you, because these people understood the knowledge correctly. They understood it better than the Sahaba. They have no shyness in saying this. But Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, obviously they do not say this. Our knowledge is taken from the three generations, from the companions and those after them, their students. Because they were the greatest of this nation. So do not be surprised if people do not agree with you on this point. And do not scratch your head and say, how can they leave this for that? This is misguidance and deviance. You just thank Allah Azza wa Jal and always ask Him to put you on the straight path. So we believe that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were the most knowledgeable in these affairs, and they were more knowledgeable than anyone who came after them. And no one differs in this except the misguided. So there is absolutely no indication whatsoever. Pay attention. There is no indication whatsoever from the companions or from the Prophet ﷺ that these texts are not to be taken literally. We take them literally. The believer sees Allah, we take it literally. That the believers see Allah in the next life. Because we are a literal ummah. Imam al-Shafi'i, the great imam, he said in one of his famous statements, he said, for a slave to be tested with every single sin except shirk, look, if a slave is tested that he commits every sin except shirk, it is better for him than being tested with kalam. Kalam means philosophy. Because philosophy is something very dangerous. When philosophy was introduced by people of innovation into the religion, that's what led them astray. And this is called ilmul kalam. philosophy. People started to abandon the texts, the Quran and the Sunnah, and they would go to philosophy. That's what destroyed the nations. And that's why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah is saying, for you to be tested with every sin, it's better for you than to be tested with kalam, with philosophy. Why? Because philosophy sends you astray in your belief. And this is the difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the rest of the groups, all of them. Because the rest of the groups, they resort to philosophy. When we look at a verse or a hadith, we try to understand it according to the understanding of the early generations, because they were the best. When the people of innovation look at a verse or a hadith, they try to use philosophy to interpret the verse or the hadith. And what's philosophy? Greek philosophy. Greek philosophy, which is kufr. And we use it to explain our religion. Some of these people have no shyness, and they have openly said and written in their books that the Muslim Ummah, just to show you the corruption of this belief, they say the Muslim Ummah will forever be in debt to Greek philosophy. Our Ummah, this nation, this religion that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I left you on it so clear, its night is like its day. There's no darkness. This Ummah is forever in debt to what? Greek philosophy. That's what they say. Because according to them, you cannot understand Islam correctly except through Greek philosophy. And this is very dangerous. Our religion, our manhaj, our methodology is to learn the religion from the best generations, the first three, which the Prophet ﷺ praised himself. So some of these innovators regarding this part of the hadith where Allah Azza wa Jal comes to the believers, as the hadith says, they deny this and they say, no, Allah does not come. Some of them said, it's the angels that come and it's not Allah. Even though Allah in the Quran says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Your Lord and the angels come rows upon rows. Allah clearly says it, but they say, no, Allah doesn't come, it's the angels. It's like they openly oppose the book of Allah. So they deny that Allah Azza wa Jal comes. And the hadith where it says Allah appears to them in an image different to the one that they knew, some of them said, no, you can't say that about Allah Azza wa Jal. They say it's not Allah that appears. Rather, He appears to them with His anger. Then when they do not know anger to be from Allah, He appears to them with His mercy. Look how they twist and they play around with the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what the Muslim must be cautious from. We do not misinterpret, manipulate, distort, change the texts. We surrender and accept them as they are. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said regarding this part of the hadith, he said the word surah, meaning image, in the hadith is just like the rest of the attributes of Allah. Because the word surah means image, and Allah appears in an image. So the surah is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's treated like the rest of the attributes, meaning we affirm it, How it is, we do not know. Because we do not know what Allah looks like. We do not know how His image is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we surrender to the texts and we take them as they are. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then says, then a bridge will be placed over the hellfire. A bridge will be placed over the hellfire, meaning on top of the hellfire. So there's the hellfire, there's a bridge over it. And that bridge is called the Sirat, which the Muslims and the hypocrites cross over. But the Muslims, the believers, pass it, and the hypocrites fall off the bridge into the hellfire. So the Sirat, which the believers cross in order to enter paradise, it's placed over the hellfire. And the believers have no way of entering paradise except by going over that bridge. There's no other way. There's no second route, as they say. There's no navigation system. Take another route. None of that. The only way to Jannah is over that Sirat. They all have to cross it. And the Sirat has been described. The Sirat has been described as being very thin. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword. Imagine that. Walking on a bridge, thinner than a hair, sharper than a sword, and beneath you is the blazing hellfire. That's scary. And also the Prophet ﷺ, he described it as being slippery. The feet are not stable on it. It's thin, it's sharp, and it's slippery. The feet are not stable on it. And it is hot. Of course it's going to be hot. Look what's under it. Under it is the hellfire. So crossing the Sirat is not easy. And the reality is, it's our deeds that crosses the Sirat. It's your actions. You cross it as a person, but it's your actions that allow you to cross it. Your righteous deeds. And that's why the ulama, they said, there are two Sirats. There's a Sirat in the dunya, and the Sirat in the hereafter. The Sirat in the dunya is the Siratul Mustaqim. Every day, every salah, we ask Allah, what? Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. That's the Sirat of the dunya. The ulama say, whoever, travels the Sirat of the dunya, travels the Sirat of the next life. Perfectly said. You follow the Sirat al-Mustaqim, you cross the Sirat in the next life. And whoever doesn't travel on the Sirat al-Mustaqim in this dunya is not going to be able to travel the Sirat al-Mustaqim in the next life. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, after that bridge is placed over hellfire, he said, I and my followers will be the first ones to cross it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers are the first people to cross that bridge. And they are the first ones to enter paradise. And this is from Allah's love for this nation. And that is from the virtues of this ummah. The Prophet ﷺ said, and on that day, meaning when they are at the Sirat, no one speaks except the prophets and the messengers. Because think about it. When a person is in shock and afraid, what happens to him? He doesn't talk. He goes silent. So imagine the creation are looking at this bridge, which is so thin and it's got hooks on it, and under it is the blazing fire. Who's going to be able to talk? The Prophet ﷺ said, no one speaks on that day except who? The messengers. And what are the messengers saying? Even the messengers. What are they saying? They're making dua. Allahumma sallim sallim. Oh Allah, save us, save us. That's all they say. But this is a heavy moment. And it's a scary moment that the believer must prepare for. He then said, in hellfire or over the bridge, there will be hooks like the thorns of As-Sa'dan. And the thorns, you know, the thorn that grows on the plants, the Prophet ﷺ, he described the hooks that are on the bridge like the thorns that grow on the Sa'dan plant. And the Sa'dan plant is a plant, it's common in the Arabian Peninsula. The camels love to eat it. Even if you watch the camel eating it, subhanAllah, it's a miracle in itself. It's so sharp. And the camels, they just sit there munching on it like it's nothing. They love eating it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, those hooks, they look like the thorn of Sa'dan, which the camels eat from. But then he said, but only Allah knows their size. Because the thorn on the actual plant, it's not big. It's small. Now the Prophet ﷺ is saying it looks like it, but it's nothing in size comparison. And that's why he said only Allah knows how big they are. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, those hooks will snatch the people away according to their deeds. When people are crossing the Sirat, some are passing, the believers, and some are getting pulled by the Sirat. By those hooks, it's just snatching them away and throwing them into the hellfire. By the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. They only snatch who Allah tells them to snatch. So the thorns are there to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ then said, and when Allah has finished His judgment among the people, He will take whomever He wills out of hellfire through His mercy. And inshallah, we will take this part of the explanation next week. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.